Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In case you didn't know, today is Palm Sunday. Okay, let's be clear about where we are. This marks the beginning of Holy Week as we follow Jesus and his disciples through the gates of Jerusalem and walk with him, remembering the last days of his life before his crucifixion by the Roman Empire. And today is also our inaugural celebration of Palm Sunday as the patronal feast for Palmer Memorial Episcopal Church. And that's just a fancy way of saying that we're celebrating our name and our identity, who we are as a people. Palmer isn't only a family name, which is how this church came into existence, but also has referred historically to someone who had returned from the Holy Land with a palm frond or leaf as an outward sign or symbol of having undertaken a pilgrimage. It's a wonderful metaphor for our life as Christians, and so that's why the image that represents our church is a cross with a palm frond. So it is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should, on Palm Sunday, take a moment to reflect on who we are as the people of God in this particular place, carrying our palm fronds and singing our hosannas and crying aloud like babies like we do. That's our praises. That's what we do, following Jesus, proclaiming him as King of Kings. And what does this mean for us who call ourselves Palmers? Standing on Holy Ground is the name of one of our classes that's met on Wednesday nights since the beginning of this year, and they have been discussing art and faith and mystery by looking at 10 pieces of artwork from the Museum of Fine Arts down the street. And that's where they took a field trip this past week to see those things in person that they had been talking about. Now, while I wasn't present for that trip, I'm sure that at least a few participants felt something that was almost religious as they went about that. I once had an overwhelming feeling like that at the Abby Aldrich Rockefeller Folk Art Museum in Williamsburg, Virginia. And while I was sort of roaming around from room to room, I stumbled upon a dark room with pitch black walls and some benches that were arranged not unlike pews. Bright lights were pointed at the front of the room, reflecting intensely off the silver and gold metallic foils of an exhibit on loan from the Smithsonian. It had an over-the-top name, the Throne of the Third Heaven of the Nation's Millennium General Assembly. And let me tell you, the name was nothing compared to the thing itself. I mean, it was hard to describe. It was an elaborate representation of heavenly glory that was created out of metallic foils, paper, plastic, strips of metal cut from coffee cans, jelly jars, flower vases, cardboard, conduit, glue, tape, tacks, and pens. Silver and gold crowns rested on the floor in the front, and at the center was a silver and gold winged throne beneath the words, "Fear not." A nighttime janitor who was from the small town of Ellerbe in South Carolina, but he worked as a nighttime janitor for the federal government in Washington, D.C. He worked on this after his job ended for 14 years until he died in 1964. Much like those to whom the words "fear not" are always spoken in the Bible, I was a little unsettled as I sat in that dark room all by myself. Yet I really did want to stay there as long as I could, because in spite of how crazy it seemed and how crazy it all looked, I experienced a sense of God's holiness there. I was rendered speechless, and yet I felt as though I was praying to God, or perhaps it was the Holy Spirit praying for me with sighs too deep for words. That sense of awe is something we experience here as we come before the mystery and the majesty of God, and as we hear that God's love for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is greater than our unloveliness and stronger than death. But there's something else that happens each time we walk through these doors into Palmer. It's illustrated well in an essay by art historian Griffith Mann. He writes, "Several years ago, a museum professional told me about a chance meeting he once had at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. A long-serving senator from Rhode Island was visiting the galleries alone. Recognizing him, my colleague asked how he made time to visit the museum. The senator responded, "I come to the galleries to spend time with my late wife by looking at all the pictures that she loved." I love that story, and it reminds me of a favorite quote by the late Yaroslav Pelikan, who was the Sterling Professor Emeritus of History at Yale University. He's famous for having said, "Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living." It's okay to laugh at that a little bit. I'll tell you that every time I walk into this church, I think about that living faith. And it reminds me of all the people whose small acts of kindness have reflected God's love for me. And for all of us, that might include parents or grandparents or teachers or friends or even strangers. It probably includes people from this church, some of whom are no longer with us in this life, and who now see for themselves what that nighttime janitor imagined as heavenly beauty with silver and gold metallic foils. But no matter what he got right or wrong, I think he was absolutely right on when he put those words, "Fear not," above the heavenly throne as its crown. And that's the message of consolation that you should hear within these walls, even when there are plenty of things to fear beyond them, like the news out of Egypt where two Coptic Christian churches were bombed during their Palm Sunday celebrations. Today I want to describe for you one last piece of art, which I've mentioned in passing in various settings, and I hope that you'll think about it every time you cross the threshold into the church before worship and onto Main Street after worship, because I think it helps us understand Palm Sunday and our identity as Palmers. One of the artistic treasures of the Cloisters Museum in New York City is a beautiful 12th century doorway from the church of San Leonardo al Frigido in Tuscany, Italy. Over on the right side of the doorway is a 6th century saint named Leonardo, and there he is depicted as one who cares for those in prison. He carries toward the doorway a humbly dressed, unshaven, diminutive prisoner whose arms and feet are still in shackles. Those who believe that his intercessions had set them free from bondage might express their gratitude by depositing their chains at a church where Leonardo was the patron saint. The massive lintel across the top of the doorway depicts Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And you can tell it's Palm Sunday because of the children holding palm branches and throwing down garments in the path of Jesus, who is riding on a donkey. And I loved, we had a little donkey here today and her little three-week-old baby. I love that. On this lintel following Jesus are the 12 apostles who are holding various objects, an incense burner, a book, keys, and palm fronds. Four of them also have open mouths that are deeply drilled, their lips curling outward in full-throated song. The whole scene depicts how Christians in that region in the High Middle Ages enacted liturgically Christ entering Jerusalem. They, of course, arrived not at the gates of the holy city, but at the entrance of their church. Along the way, they sang antiphons and carried palm branches and a gospel book and incense, which represented their prayers and their praises ascending to God. The keys in the sculpture presumably are needed to unlock the doors of the church for the rest of the liturgy to continue inside. When I described the scene above that doorway, I left out something very important. I should have said that following Jesus are the 12 apostles plus one extra person. The one extra person is Leonardo, who joins the apostolic train and follows Jesus too. The message seems so simple, as suggested by the props in the hands of the apostles and Leonardo's surprising appearance. The presence of Jesus bridges the past and the present. From the children who spread their garments along the path of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem, to prisoners who were loved by Leonardo centuries later, and folks across our own lifetime who have shown us that same love. Those whose love has brought us into a broad place where we can breathe freely. The people who passed through that medieval doorway and the people who passed through our doorway are invited to join the procession of those who follow Jesus. Palmers are willing to cross that threshold, trusting that it's better to walk with God and with our brothers and sisters than it is to walk alone. And Palmers know that the parade doesn't stop at the church. It continues out into the neighborhoods where we live, into the schools where we study, and into the offices where we work. At least once a year, it will continue all the way from this place to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage with Jerusalem peace builders. And the pattern that we'll settle into, some folks went last fall, but the next pilgrimage will be a year from now in the Easter season, after we have proclaimed Jesus as King on Palm Sunday and stood in the light of the resurrection, and think about going out into the world as Easter people. And so every year we're going to have a pilgrimage in the Easter season to Jerusalem. So why did you walk through the doorway of Palmer this morning? If you came seeking to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, then you're exactly where you need to be. You're invited to take your place in a centuries-long parade, one that goes back far beyond the history of this church, one that includes people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. I hope you'll consider that invitation today as we join our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. We're all Palmers as we make our way back home to what at least one child of God and fellow pilgrim has called the throne of the third heaven of the nation's Millennium General Assembly. Amen.